We still moving to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, we're reading verses 28 to 32. Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. We're in a section in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus begins to unpack what he's just been saying to the Pharisees, particularly about the baptism of John and what the baptism of John represented concerning him. And he begins to express this in terms of two sons and their relationship with the father, how they responded when the father told them to go into the field and work. He's really talking about two groups of people. We'll find out as we consider these words. Listen carefully. Verse 28. This is the precious word of the living and true God. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Precious word, the living and the true God. That attitude towards John the Baptist, that's the connection here. The attitude towards John the Baptist that Jesus was expressing in the previous verses. He's actually still in front of the crowd of people in the temple. And the chief priests have gathered together. They've been challenging the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins to unpack these parables. He tells three of them in a row. This is one of them. And he's speaking right in the presence of the chief priests and the elders, the people that came to confront him and challenge him about the authority they had to teach. And he refused to tell them because they would not accept the authority of John the Baptist. And that's very important to this, because the authority of John the Baptist was given from heaven, and the call was to repent. And so when Jesus begins to unpack these two sons in this parable, he's talking about the chief priests and the elders, and he's talking about another group of people, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the publicans and the harlots. He's talking about them and how they responded to John's preaching. And Jesus' parable is designed to show that the chief priests and the elders did not stand in a right relationship with God. But actually, surprisingly, the publicans and the harlots, the tax collectors and the prostitutes do, because they have responded to the preaching of John the Baptist. You see, what the chief priests and the elders have rejected, these other people have accepted. And that's the big story. But Jesus breaks it down. He's telling a story, and the chief priests and the elders don't quite know where he's going yet. It's a simple story. There's a vineyard. A lot of people had vineyards in this day. And yes, the vineyard does represent the people of Israel. We sang about that in Psalm 80. It's there in Isaiah 5. You've learned that so much as we've gone through the Gospel of Matthew. But Jesus has in mind a general vineyard. He has in mind a vineyard because he's going to tell this story of the relationship of the father to his sons who are called upon to work in that vineyard. And yes, there are different levels to this story. It's the Father in heaven whose will we need to do. And that these sons are in relationship with the Father in terms of what they are called to do and how they respond. And so Jesus tells this story. He says in verse 28, what think ye? That's a way of getting your attention. He's trying to say, this is very important. I want you to think about this. Put on your thinking caps. This is time to really begin to ponder what I'm saying. Jesus underlines it for us so that we might think carefully. And he's speaking right in the presence of these chief priests and elders. And he wants them to think carefully. He wants the people in front of him to think carefully. They've been denying his authority. Think about this. What does this denial of my authority, what does the denial of the authority of John the Baptist mean? It's like this. Jesus tells this story. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go to work today in my vineyard." The expected response, if your father has a vineyard, and you're in the ancient Near East, and you're a Hebrew child, your father tells you to work in the vineyard, it's a very reasonable request. The expected response is, okay, how long do you want me to work? Or something like that. But that's not how this son responds. The son responds right out of the gate, no, I will not, he says. I will not. Shocking already at the beginning of Jesus' story. But we know that there's another level. We know that we've already read to the end of the account, verse 32, and we already know that he's talking about a group of people. A group of people that said that they would not obey the will of the Father. What group of people is that? It's the prostitutes and the tax collectors. It's the harlots and the publicans. It's the people who said, I'm going to do things this way. The publicans were basically thieves in the eyes of the people in that society. How would you like it if when you went around your neighborhood and you went to your place of employment and you were moving about in your society, you were defined by your particular greatest sin? That's how these people are defined. They're called publicans and harlots. They're defined by the sin of taking money from people and making money from the Roman tax operation and by their particular sexual sins. They're defined by that. And sometimes you meet people like this. Well, I have a son. He's a heroin addict. And that's all they say about him. You don't know anything else about the person. And sometimes when people sin in a particular way and it's so prominent, you begin to think of the person in those terms. I don't think anything more of this person because I don't really know them. There's no more context for me. It's only just that particular sin that defines them. That's the guy that tried to lure a child. That's the guy. And that's how these people are viewed. And so when they say, I will not do the will of the Father, it's talking about a period in their life when they are shaking their fist at God and they're rebels. They're living according to their own way. But lo and behold, John the Baptist comes along and he says, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And they begin to listen because they don't need to hear that they're sinners. They already know that. They begin to recognize in the call to repent the fact that they don't stand in a right relationship with the living God. That's what's behind Jesus' story here. He seems to be telling a story about the son going into a field. We don't know where it's going, but by the time we get to the end, we know where it's going. It's talking about the lives of people. People who need to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who need to hear that the kingdom of God is at hand, that they need to turn away from their sins. So this son, you know, on the level of the story, doesn't have all this theological weight. He changes his mind. He changes his mind and goes out and works in the field. Remember that, because the question Jesus is going to ask is, which one obeyed the will of the Father? Which one followed the Father's directions? The next one, the second one, gets the same direction. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And the second says, I go, sir. Very respectful, very obedient son, apparently. But he never goes. He never shows up. And Jesus asked this question, which of these two did the will of his father? Whither of them twain did the will of his father? That means which of the two of them? one son, the first or the second one? The one who said, I will not, and then changed his mind and went, or the one that said, I will, and never should have? Which one did the will of his father? And the chief priests and the elders, this is a softball question from Jesus. It's like when the teacher calls on you in class and asks you such a simple question, people are like snickering because they're like, hope you don't mess up this one. The chief priests and the elders answer quickly because they know. Jesus made the story spectacularly clear. It's the first son, the one who said no at first and then changed his mind and went into the field. Our family has a little bit of experience about how valuable this is because our son decided to help us out with a bunch of weeds and trees that were in the backyard, and he went to town and he did a lot of work in a few hours, and then he continued by buying mulch and bringing it to the backyard, and it looks very different, and we really appreciate it. And that's the kind of dependency that people had for their children as they worked the fields at this time in history. It wasn't like you could say, well, I'll just call the local temporary job service and have them send some temps over. No, if you had children in your family, they were the ones that you depended upon the most. They were the ones that were to work the field. And so these chief priests and the elders and standing around this crowd of people who are hanging on Jesus' every word, they know the answer. They're not going to pretend like they don't know the answer to this one. They didn't want to give the answer to the first one, the first question Jesus asked in the previous verses. But now, it's so obvious that they answer the first. And now Jesus has made his point. It's the first son. And now Jesus turns to them like Nathan turns to David in 1 Samuel 12 and says, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. The publicans and the harlots are the first son, and you are the second son. You are those who said that you were going to do the will of God, who made a big public show of doing the will of God. But like that fig tree outside that was made a big show of leaves and had no fruit on the inside, that's what you're like. Because there's no interest in repentance. No interest in turning to God. The call of John the Baptist, reflected in the teaching of Jesus Christ, no interest in turning away from themselves. So what they do, all of their religious activity, is just simply a show on the outside, but on the inside, they're exactly the same. They're refusing to do the Father's will, just like the second son. And so that's why Jesus says, surprisingly enough, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. They're first in line. Because they have followed their own way, they have squandered things. But at some point, through the preaching of John the Baptist, the proclamation of Jesus Christ who was to come, they began to feel the pull of the Holy Spirit, and they turned around. And I want you to know that this is good news today. Good news for those of you who lived in a way that was foolish and squandering the resources that God had given you and turned around and embrace Jesus Christ. That's the category of people that Jesus has in mind when he's talking about the first son. And the chief priests and elders know that those are the people who are actually doing the will of the Father. The will of the Father defined here in terms of actually turning around, changing your mind, and doing what the Father says. In this case, trusting in Jesus Christ. Because look at what it says. Verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. Belief, quite important. Belief in what John the Baptist was proclaiming, the way of righteousness. Now, there are two ways as we open our Psalter, the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. And John is proclaiming the way of righteousness, and he says it has to do with repentance, turning around. Because the kingdom of God is coming. And Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Believe. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you have no means to turn around. If you try to turn around and you don't turn to God through Jesus Christ, it's only going to last for a short amount of time. You'll just be living like the Pharisees, like the second son. Yeah, I'm gonna obey your will. And then eventually, never show up. So we need to understand what Jesus is saying. The publicans and the harlots, he says in verse 32, believed him. They believed John the Baptist. When it was pointing as a forerunner to the one who was to come, they believed the message that they needed to turn around. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards that ye might believe him. So, in other words, you had another opportunity. There's crowds of people that are now embracing what John the Baptist says. They're being baptized in preparation for the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is right around the corner. He says he's the mightier one. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Get ready. And crowds of people do. The chief priests? Nah. There's something wrong with what John the Baptist is doing here. Just like that second son in Jesus' story. Just like the one who says, I'm obeying God's will. But when he sends a messenger with authority from heaven to tell you to turn around because Jesus is coming, you don't listen. And so these chief priests that are standing before Jesus Christ did not even take the second opportunity that they had. When they saw people repenting, to believe in Jesus Christ. But there's good news for you. Because Jesus is talking about these two sons. If we put our thinking caps on and we thought about ourselves as parents, we might think to ourselves, well, okay, I've got one son who says no. And then does it. We've got another son who says, yeah, I'll go into the fields. And then never shows up. I don't like either option. But all along, the one who's telling the story, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the true obedient son. He is the one who came to do the Father's will. He came to fulfill the Father's will. The Lord Jesus Christ came to be the means by which obedience before the Father in heaven is made acceptable. When you repent and come to God through Jesus Christ, you receive the obedience that Jesus Christ offered. And it was a willingness to do the Father's will from the very beginning. And he carried it out. He didn't hesitate. He didn't stop. Even when the devil began attacking him, even when the chief priests and scribes began blaspheming him, even when his own disciples deserted him, he went to the cross in obedience to the Father. And he said, I am going to give my life as a ransom for many. And the Lord Jesus Christ followed through, the obedient son from the very beginning. That's why he was acknowledged from heaven at John the Baptist's baptism. That's why the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am. That obedient Son is the means by which you can turn around. There's even good news in the fact that Jesus Christ says that people lived as harlots and publicans, tax collectors and prostitutes, defined by their sin. and yet now they're entering the kingdom of God. That means when you repent, when you turn around and embrace Jesus Christ, you receive something that is outlined in these words from Jesus Christ as the way of righteousness and the will of the Father. To trust in Jesus Christ, to turn from your sins, and to embrace Jesus Christ. That is the reason that Jesus Christ has been proclaimed to you today. And that is what the chief priests and the elders needed to do. But you and I, we hear from this third son, this obedient son, this one who gave to us the means by which we are acceptable before God, that we need to believe and we need to turn around and return to God through Jesus Christ. The book of 1 Thessalonians puts it simply, just as we close, I want you to just think about these words. As the Apostle Paul speaks about the testimony of the Thessalonians, and he says that they were examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the word of the Lord sounded out. And their faith toward God is spread abroad. Why? Because they responded like the first son, like the publicans and the harlots, like all true believers, trusting in Jesus Christ and turning around, turning away from their sins. They themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, if you trembled when you heard Isaiah 13 read, it's important that you know that Jesus Christ is the one who delivered us from the wrath to come. That's the only way that you can be in the category of these tax collectors and prostitutes, these publicans and harlots. The first son who is commended even by the enemies of Jesus Christ because trusting in Jesus Christ and turning from your sin is the means by which you are brought into a safe place in a relationship with the living God.